You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 467 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live deep into the night here on this Tuesday. It is Election Day in America. I know I have a lot of actually people that listen to this podcast that are outside of America. So you guys, you know, congratulations on avoiding all of the madness associated with Election Day. But here we are. There was a Hawks game. I know a lot of people didn't watch it. I got a few tweets talking, kind of asking me why I was talking about the Hawks on election night, especially when there was college game on. But this is my job. And we're going to talk about the Hawks this evening as we go into Wednesday morning. And if you missed the game, hopefully this will help to catch you up on what transpired on Tuesday evening. So the Hawks lost by a final score of 113-102. Kind of hilariously, this is a game that was a 11.5-point spread in terms of Las Vegas point spread, as the Hornets were favored by about 11.5 the whole day leading up to this game. So obviously, once again, Vegas nails this one, although it was a little bit more lopsided than that in the final minutes, but the Hawks were actually closer than that for much of this game. So at the end of the day, it settles at 11. And, nothing that was overly surprising, I would say. You know, Kemba Walker was the best player in the building in Charlotte. Kemba had 29 points, 7 assists, through 3 steals in the game, and he was tremendous. Also, Marvin Williams had a very nice game. Former Hawks Hawks legend Marvin Williams had 20 points for the Hornets. But as usual, we'll go down sort of the blow-by-blow of this one with some takeaways, and then after a short break, we'll come back with some individual thoughts on what transpired here. So, first and foremost, the game started off actually pretty positively for Atlanta. I will say, before we get into the actual blow-by-blow, Kevin Huerter got his first start of his NBA career, which is worth noting, and the Hawks actually started 3 rookies for the first time since 2005. Back then, I was I believe I was a sophomore in college, one of those things. It was a long time ago, so it's been a while since the Hawks did that. Huerter gets the start in place of Taurean Prince, who missed this game with an ankle sprain. He'll be back fairly shortly, I would imagine, but good to see, obviously, that three-man unit of young Huerter and Spellman getting in the lineup, and that was interesting to at least watch for most of this game. So back to the blow-by-blow of things, there was actually a hilarious early official review with about a minute into the game when Bazemore actually got clocked by Nick Batum in transition. Actually got a flagrant one there on Nick Batum. But aside from that, a lot of good stuff early on from the Hawks. Kevin Huerter had a nice big block early in the game and a nice pass to Alex Len in the early going. The Hawks led by a 9-3 margin early on, despite the fact that Atlanta missed their first 7 threes in this game. I did think that Amari Spellman was really targeted by the Hornets. A lot of that was Marvin Williams playing well in a smaller ball role. I was actually intrigued to see if the Hawks would start Spellman in this game because of the fact that his first start came against Miami. Miami was playing 2 traditional bigs. They had Kelly Olynyk playing, whereas Charlotte was starting Marvin Williams, who at this point is definitely a 4, but definitely not a natural big man. And that was a tough matchup for Spellman. The Hornets definitely took advantage of him early and often in this game defensively. The Hawks did miss their first 7 threes, but were able to kind of hang around based on pretty quality defense for the most part as a team. There was an 11-2 run from Charlotte to take their first lead, and from there it was kind of back and forth for most of 3 quarters, to be honest with you. There wasn't a whole lot in the way of big runs one way or the other. Vince Carter had a huge dunk, actually, after he beat Jeremy Lamb in the post with a spin move. That was probably the most fun moment of the night if you were a Hawks fan, aside from, like, there were some nice moments from Trae Young, of course, as there almost always are, but Vince's dunk was a nice jump back in the time machine. And also, Miles Bridges had what I would probably call the dunk of the year so far in the NBA. Pretty crazy dunk against Dwayne Dedman after he caught and kind of cocked the ball back way behind his head. That was a fun dunk. If you missed that one, I'm sure you can find it on social media somewhere, but that was a fun one from the opposition. Every once in a while, we should mention that. And Bridges was able to drop the hammer in this spot. Also, I should mention, Jeremy Lin had a very nice first quarter, very nice game for Lin. We'll talk about him more later, but 9 points in the first quarter to kind of keep the Hawks' offense afloat in that first period. There was a nice chase down block from Kent Bazemore in the second quarter, sort of set the tone there a little bit. Also, the Hawks went small. They had Spellman play some center, which is something I always want to see. They had him play center a little bit at the end of the game, too, but worth noting, in the second quarter, they had a Spellman-Poitras front court for a while in that second quarter. A couple of really, really nice passes from Trae Young for dunk. chunks, both to Kevin Herter and Alex Len. I think Herter was fantastic in that first half, just kind of doing everything, all the little things. No awesome numbers from Herter. He did have one nice left-handed finish in the lane, but I thought he was just really good on both ends of the floor, and a nice reminder that he continues to play really well early on in his career here. Young had 14 points, 5 assists in the first half. Did have 5 turnovers, but for a while there in the second quarter, he was kind of doing whatever he wanted to do offensively. He did slow down after that, but there was like a 5-minute stretch where he was by far the best offensive player on the court, kind of doing whatever he wanted in this game. The Hawks, though, were 2 of 16 from 3. Yes, 2 of 16 from 3 in the first half, and otherwise they were pretty good on offense, but that really cost them in the first half. The Hawks only had 8 turnovers in the first half, which is nice to see, but still a sub-100 offensive rating based on the bad shooting. Did hold the Hornets to a 92.9 offensive rating in that first half, but Kemba had 17, and the Hornets were able to stay sort of afloat despite the bad performance and the way that they played overall. Charlotte did wake up after the halftime, though, as you might imagine. They had a 9-0 run to start the third quarter, take a lead from there. The Hawks did come back, honestly, and kind of battled. They didn't score for the first 3-plus minutes of the third quarter, but Kent Bazemore had a huge third quarter to kind of keep the Hawks within striking distance. He had 12 points, hit a few huge shots for Atlanta, but there was 10 turnovers from the Hawks in the third quarter. That's really not going to do it most nights, but 10 turnovers in a quarter after only 8.5. I tweeted at halftime that the 8 turnovers were actually really encouraging from Atlanta. If you missed it yesterday, we talked a lot about turnovers with Jeff Siegel on this podcast, but 10 turnovers in one quarter is just going to be bad news for pretty much anyone, and that kind of doomed the Hawks in that period. From there, it was tied with about 10 minutes to go in this game, but after that, it was basically all Charlotte. There was a 12-2 run early in the fourth quarter to take the lead, take really sort of full control of the game. The Hawks did kind of get it back to within 7 or 8, but there was another 12-4 run by Charlotte to get back to 15, and with about 3 minutes to go, that was kind of the end of that. I think I circled the dagger is when Marvin Williams hit a corner three to go up by 13 with about 3.5 minutes to go. That was going to be really it for me. And the Hawks did, I guess, sort of threaten at one mini point when they got it to, like, I think it was 10 again, but there was not really ever a realistic chance of getting the win there for the Hawks. So that was kind of the end of that. Sort of overall here, the Hawks offense just kind of didn't do its job here. They had a 94.4 offensive rating. You see 102 points, you might think it was a pretty good offensive game, but it was a pretty fast-paced game, and the offense really struggled. Honestly, at the end of the day, it comes down to, in this game, was shooting and turnovers. The turnovers had 22 turnovers, which is still way too many. 31 points for the Hornets off the 22 turnovers, and at the end of the day, the Hawks made only 6 of 30 from 3. That's going to happen every once in a while when you take a lot of threes, but 6 of 30, and that includes an 0 for 13 from Trae Young, Alex Len, and Amari Spellman. And actually 0 for 15 if you include Kevin Herter. So 4 guys go 0 for 15. That's going to lose you a lot of games on its own. If you factor that in with the bad turnovers as well, it's kind of a bad recipe. Defensively, the Hawks actually played pretty well here. They created 21 turnovers of their own. They held Charlotte to only a 104.6 offensive rating. You'll take that every time, honestly, for this Hawks team. Kemba did, as I mentioned before, kind of do whatever he wanted in the second half. But for the most part, I thought the Hawks played quality defense in this game. The Hornets didn't make 13 threes, which definitely hurt. But you can't really ask for much more from Atlanta's defense. It was the offense that let them down in this spot, and that is definitely worth noting. So in terms of just overall takeaways, that's going to be probably where we'll leave it for now. I do want to take a moment, though, to tell you about the good folks at MyBookie. You know, ever since I started doing this podcast, and well before that, people have been asking me for advice on when it comes to betting on sports, and usually it's they want to know what team I want them to wager on. But the truth is, I don't always know who's going to win, honestly. And with that said, if you think you know, you have to check out MyBookie. Who you're betting with is just as important as who you're betting on, and that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie, because trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. So I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been really good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie, because if you win, they will absolutely pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet over-under on how many fantasy points a guy will score in certain games. So if you join now, MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar, and that's the first deposit 100% up to $1,000. So use promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie.ag online today. That's MyBookie.ag. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when you're creating your account to claim this bonus. So one more time, it will match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. You play, you win, and you get paid with MyBookie. Thanks to MyBookie for sponsoring the podcast. We'll talk about some player stuff as we always do here on the program. We'll start with the The bench in this game, the headliner there was Jeremy Lin, who was the team's leading scorer, 19 points for Lin on 7 of 9 shooting, 1 of 1 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Obviously a very efficient game from Lin offensively. He was just good. It was nice to see Jeremy Lin have a really nice game kind of from start to finish. He had a couple of nice moments, a couple of nice quarters previous to this. The second half against Sacramento for one, although that was a lot of that was just basically in garbage time. But this game he was on the floor a lot in the fourth quarter, and deservedly so. I thought Lin just played well. He's not playing with a ton of force still. You can definitely tell he's not quite his old self athletically, but at the same time, he was very measured. He shot the ball well here and just kind of played professional basketball, and that's something you want to see from Jeremy Lin. There wasn't any two-point guard lineups that I was aware of. Maybe there was a short-term stint at one point when they were playing Young and Lin together that I just missed, but for the most part, just backup minutes for Jeremy Lin, and that's just fine in this game. You know, 30 minutes for Trae Young, 18 minutes for Jeremy Lin, but I thought Lin played very well when he was asked to do so. Also had 2 steals and 2 assists, so just a very nice, strong, across-the-board game from Jeremy Lin, and that's another step in his progress after the long-term injury that he was coming off of. Tyler Dorsey only played 7 minutes in this game, but he was the backup. He was the fourth wing in this spot. A lot of minutes from Kevin Herter, a lot of minutes from Bazemore and DeAndre Bembry, but Dorsey did have 2 stints. There was one moment when he was asked to guard Kemba Walker one-on-one, which is never going to end well for Dorsey. That's not really his fault. They were +6 in his small time. Scoreless, though, only 1 shot attempt for Dorsey, so a pretty quiet night, but he was the one that got the call as the fourth wing ahead of Daniel Hamilton. No surprise there. Hamilton was in Charlotte, but after a G League stint that wasn't necessarily fantastic for him, at least according to the stuff that I've seen and what Jeff Siegel, who was tasked with writing about him and talking about him, was able to see. So Dorsey got the call. No surprise there. I thought he was fine in general, but just not a ton of deployment for Dorsey in this game. Dwayne Dedmon, 19 minutes, 4 of 7 from the floor. 8 points and 6 rebounds for Dedmon. Had 2 block shots, 3 turnovers, 5 fouls. Dedmon was not particularly good, I didn't think, in this game. A couple of bad turnovers for Dedmon. In fact, he had 3 in the game. And I thought he was, there were some nice moments for him defensively, but offensively, the center spot was a trouble spot. Even if the numbers were still fairly efficient, the center spot was troubling for Atlanta in this game. And I thought Dedmon was still probably better than everybody else at center in this game, but at the same time, the gap was much smaller than it has been. This is definitely probably his worst game since he came back. Not like he was actually absolutely unplayable, but there were some really rocky moments in the second half for Dedmon offensively. Vince Carter, 7 points, pretty anonymous game, but did have 2 steals and 2 blocks. He was pretty active by his standards defensively. Made a 3 in this game in addition to the aforementioned highlight dunk that he had in the first quarter. DeAndre Bembry, 29 minutes, played a lot of time here. 5 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Had 1 really ugly finish, as I talked about a lot yesterday with Jeff. His finishing has been a question mark this season, but did make a 3 in this game. Shot the ball aggressively. Was minus 15. I didn't think that was all him, but wasn't necessarily a great game for Bembry, but I did think he was pretty aggressive at times, which is what you want to see from him. And the finishing is just going to have to come keep coming along in the very near future. Alex Poitras, 8 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 blocks for him. 17 minutes. Actually, was a little bit interested to see why they went away from Poitras in the fourth quarter. They brought Spellman in at a sort of a weird time, in my opinion, at the 4. Poitras is someone I continue to like. He gave some good minutes here. Made his only 3. Had 1 highlight level block out of his 2. And I thought he was pretty solid, honestly, across the board on both sides. He wasn't like he was exquisite or anything like that, but Poitras does sort of give them quality minutes off the bench in a reserve role. To the starters, Kevin Herter, 32 minutes. The numbers look just sort of pedestrian. 7 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. But he had 3 steals and a block in this game. 2 of 5 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. I wanted him to shoot more, honestly, but I thought Kevin Herter was very good in this game overall. He was better in the first half than he was in the second, which has to be said. But I thought Herter, sort of overall, aside from just not being aggressive enough, getting his own shot, was very good defensively by his standards, especially. But three steals and a block is very, very nice to see from Kevin Herter, and that kind of almost undersells the way that he played defensively in that first half, especially. And the assists were very nice as well. So I think Herter definitely sort of ingratiated himself quite well in starting lineup for the first time in his career. Kent Bazemore, 16 points, 4 steals, and 2 blocks for Kent. Had 3 turnovers. He was really quiet in the first half and kind of quiet again in the fourth quarter. But the third quarter, he was the only reason why the Hawks were still in the game, frankly, was all his shot making in the third, which has to be at least mentioned. 6 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 7 from 3. You know, 2 of 7 isn't great, but he was actually one of the only guy in the starting five that made a 3. It was Kent Bazemore. He made 2 of them, so pretty rough there from the starters. But Baze, I thought, was pretty solid across the board, especially if you factor in the third quarter. You know, there were rough moments from Kent. There was one video that John Schumann of NBA.com tweeted out of some really iffy defense from Kent Bazemore. I think that's worth pointing out. That was a rough spot. You can't really argue against that. It was an ugly rotation from Kent, so he's not perfect by any means, but I thought he was pretty solid overall in this game. Trae Young, 18 points, 10 assists, did have six turnovers and was minus 15 in this game. The turnovers are fine. You know, he had 5 in the first half, did calm down in the second half a little bit, but the 10 assists, you can kind of live with the turnovers, as we talked about yesterday on the show with Jeff. 8 of 19 from the field is not great, especially when it's 0 of 7 from 3. You know, some of the misses are going to be ones that fall in the future. I did think that Trae had 2 or 3 bad shots. There was one in the first half that I tweeted about that was just an awful pull-up that he had no business taking. That's the kind of shot that you might have envisioned him taking before the season started. But, you know, the 0 of 7 from 3 is not something I'm going to worry about too much. You know, he's too good of a shooter to do that regularly. But, you know, not an efficient game for him. The assists were there, though. His passing was brilliant. I did think that the opponents started picking on him a lot defensively in the third quarter, especially, and his weaknesses shine through in that area a little bit. But, you know, overall, it wasn't a disaster, honestly, of him this season. I mean, it's one of those things where Trae Young is going to have some nights where he puts up good stats like this, counting stats, 18 points, 10 assists, looks like he played well. I thought Young was just okay. Defensively, there were some real issues, but he also wasn't bad in this game despite the bad shooting that he did have. Alex Len, 12 points, 6 of 11 from the floor. I think that probably overstates the way he played. I thought he was pretty bad, honestly. I mean, all of his shots aside from the 3 threes that he attempted and missed were all pretty much gimmies. He made 6 of 8 on 2s, which is fine, and that's what you want to see from him. But wasn't a whole lot of impact from Alex Len in this game. Defensively, I thought he was kind of a mess. Offensively, 4 turnovers is just too many. You can't have that. You cannot have 7 turnovers from Len and Dedmon. That's just way, way too many in this game when they don't have the ball in their hands all that often. So Len wasn't, you know, ghastly, but definitely was not a good night for Alex Len. And finally, Amari Spellman. Only 17 minutes, which is interesting because I think they kind of noticed in the first half that he was getting picked on defensively, as I mentioned before. Spellman was not good in the first half, was honestly pretty bad in the first half, and then early in the third quarter was kind of bad as well. I did have a nice stretch, and I believe it was his last stint on the court. He played a little bit better, but 2 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist for Spellman. You know, not one to write home about for Amari. He'll have better days ahead. I'm not really worried necessarily by this performance. It does serve as a reminder, though, that defensively he has some weaknesses right now against some, I guess, non-traditional fours, but honestly, most teams are playing those now, so they're almost traditional at this point in time. Like, Marvin Williams is a pretty standard power forward around the league right now. I know he was a small forward for a long time and was kind of the picture of like a 6'8", 6'9", small forward, but now he's really a four, and Spellman's not really equipped to deal with a guy like that, even if Marvin isn't kind of the guy that you might think would torture Spellman. But the way that Kemba Walker and Marvin Williams were treating him was indicative of what might happen if the Hawks allow him to hang out the four too often. So, John Collins, get back soon is kind of all I would say about that. If the Hawks had John Collins in this game, it would have been much, much different, and that is definitely worth noting. So that's going to do it for today's podcast, I think. It's one of those games where I know a lot of people missed this one, so hopefully this helps to catch up on the pod, and hopefully you guys get an idea of what happened here. Also, I would recommend Graham Chappell is writing about this game overnight at PeachtreeHoops.com. That'll be up by Wednesday morning. That's usually a very, very detailed and good breakdown. So if you missed this one, and I know a lot of people missed this one more than usual because of the election and college basketball, all that stuff, and hopefully you guys will catch up on that. So check out that post on PeachtreeHoops.com. Please subscribe to this podcast. I'd really appreciate that, and all of your support and subscribing and telling your friends about the pod, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, Spy, even all the places should have the podcast. And I really appreciate everyone listening. So enjoy the rest of your day. The Hawks have a back to back, so I'll be in the building at State Farm Arena on Wednesday night, and that'll be the next podcast into Thursday morning. So please stay tuned for that, and we'll see you guys in about 24 hours.